Well, good morning again, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank God for the nasty cold. It's almost gone. It's been really so, well, praise the Lord. We've not had minus 50 for the longest time, so I hope it doesn't come back for a long time. Praise the Lord. Well, it's so nice. You know, when you know you really live in a cold country, minus 24 is like, it's like nice. That is something. Praise the Lord. How many of you are thankful for the weather? So you should be thankful. Amen. If you didn't have one night, it was minus 53. I was shocked. I said, what? I'm not going anywhere today. But you know, but Apostle braved it. He came every night. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let us pray, and then we're going to continue with what God has for us this morning. Hallelujah. Glorious God. What an awesome Abba Father we serve. Father, we thank you for this glorious day. This is the day you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. Even when we complain, sometimes we don't like the cold. This is what sin has done to our world. And Lord, deliver us from every power of sin. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for our time with you this morning. As we sit at your feet like Mary, to enjoy the bread of life, let our spirit be satisfied. Bring your living word to us. Transform us. Transform our families. Transform our city, our nation. Thank you for Apostle. Minister grace to him as a minister to your people in all the world. Let our capital return back to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, draw your people this morning. Those listening online, on television, right here sitting in the sanctuary, let every word that comes impact our lives, including me who's going to be speaking. Let your word come with grace and favor and with power and with intent that brings fruitfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, recently, a lot of people have been going through a lot of challenges. And some of them look like, God, are you really still on my side? Or did you go on vacation? Well, good news today, he has not gone on vacation. God is still in control. Amen. He's giving control to us on what to do. But the ultimate control, he's still in charge. The devil is not. Amen? So no matter what your challenges are, the good news is still available to bring the result that you need that will change that situation. Some people have been going through health challenges, financial challenges, relationship challenges, all kinds of challenges, even up to sickness and death. But today, God, we break every cycle of defeat from your life in the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, I'm going to talk about God's standard. God has a standard for everything that we go through. There is a solution. Somebody say there's a solution. God took care of everything. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to start. The first scripture I'm going to look at this morning is Isaiah 59. When you have time, read all of it. But I just need a little part of it this morning. Verse 19 and 20. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. There is a standard. When the enemy comes, he doesn't come like, okay, let me just do a little bit of damage. His intent is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what John 10 tells us, right? But God has already put a security in place. See, he comes like a flood. God has a standard. There is a standard against every attack of the enemy, against your life, against your family, against your health, against your city, against your nation. God has already put a security thing in place, a standard that will stop all the flood. Somebody say, I receive this word. Because you do need God's standard to stop it. Because the enemy's mission, he doesn't have so many missions. His mission is very simple. Three things. Steal, kill, what? Destroy. Well, we have tons of lists of things we want. He doesn't have lots of lists. But he intends to do that. But God has already raised a standard. So it doesn't matter what kind of symptom you're going to see in 2019. There is already a standard in place. Somebody shout hallelujah. That means fear can never be part of your life in 2019. Not only 2019, forever. Somebody say forever. Fear will never be part of my life. A standard has been put in place. All you need to do is bring up that standard. So whenever anything starts, you say, stop in the name of Jesus. Stop it on its track. Say amen. Bring out your standard. For me, in the spirit of my mind, it's like, what happened? When there is a traffic confusion, where there's traffic light and all of a sudden it's not working anymore, what happens? Well, there's confusion, but order is quickly restored. The cop comes, the police comes, and does what? Take authority and tells who is to move and who is not to move. And order is restored until the situation is rectified. God has put a standard. There is order in your spirit to stop every confusion. In the name of Jesus. You have it inside you. So this morning we're going to stir ourselves up and learn to stop the enemy. Praise the Lord. I have every reason, the beginning of this year, January is just gone. Today is only the 3rd of February. For every reason to be afraid of something, one thing or the other. All kinds of things, attack of the enemy showed up. But you know what? Do I look like somebody who's under any attack? No. A standard has been set against that. And the same way they came, they've all gone. In the name of Jesus. God has not guaranteed you that you will not have problems. It says, be of good cheer. So your part is to cheer up. Cheer up. Laugh when you don't feel like laughing. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's the standard. The standard says rejoice. And again, I say, do what? Rejoice. So you rejoice. When you don't feel like rejoicing, rejoice. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say 2019, I'm going to rejoice. Yes, you're not going to take the standard of Satan. You're going to take the standard of God. Say amen. Praise the Lord. All right. What is the standard against fear? You rejoice. God has not given you the spirit of what? Fear. So God gave a standard. What's the standard? Spirit of love. Three things. For fear, he gave three. Three standards. 2 Timothy 1:7. Right? God has not given us, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Love, power, and a sound mind. Just one flood of the enemy. God has three against it. Somebody shout hallelujah. So when fear comes, what is your standard? So if you're not living in love, when fear comes, you quickly do what? You repent and get back in love. I like the practical part of Christianity, so most times I just do the practical part. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We read the scriptures. I just quoted 2 Timothy 1:7. That should be part of in your spirit. Talk it down and have it all the time. God has not what? Giving us the spirit. So it means, us means plural, all of us. Amen? So fear is subject to attack anybody. but God has not given it to you. We read that in the devotion this morning. That was part of my message. It's part of my scripture. But God already prepared. I did not look at the devotion before I came, but that's what God has. Amen? God has not given me. Some personalize it. Say, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but he's given me the spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of sound mind. So your mind is where the devil always attack you. So your mind is already sound. If the mind is sound, nothing can trouble it. So you must have that standard ready. When fear shows up of pain, by the way, somebody this morning came to the service that had lots of pain on their right side, mostly from the back coming to the front. God, I see the pain is lifting and lifting. Praise the Lord. So in a moment, it's going to be completely gone. There's just a tiny little bit left. It was bad before, it's lifting. If you're that person, start waving. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just begin to see it completely going away. Complete. I know, you know, most of the time I don't spend time coming to lay hands on you, but it doesn't mean my hand is not short. The Bible says God's hand is not short, it touch. He has telescopic hand. I also have one. Somebody shout hallelujah. That is a standard. Isaiah 59 that I read to you earlier, verse 1 of it tells you that. Verse 1 of Isaiah 59. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not what? Shortened that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. God's hand is not short. It's got telescopic hand. Somebody shout hallelujah. The hand is not short. Are you not made in his image and likeness? So your hand too is not short. If you are in him. If you are in him, then his hand becomes your hand. Somebody shout hallelujah. But if you are not in him, you just look at only your natural hand. Your natural hand is so short. I don't know. Does anybody have 7 feet hand? I don't think so. I've never seen you be a bird that flies. So I don't know how wide is the wings of an eagle. I think so. That's pretty wide, right? But I've not seen a human that have 7 feet. I think mine is about 2, or maybe 2.5. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, 7 feet would be like taller than me. The hand is, I'm not even 6 feet. So that would be long. Praise the Lord. God's hand is not short. You can be in the remotest of all villages. God can find you and touch you there. Say amen. You can be in your basement. God can find you and touch you there. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. God's hand is not short. He can locate you. So somebody can say, God, locate me. Say, God, locate me. So he's giving you a standard against fear. So you have that weapon. It is yours. So 2019, don't let me hear you saying, oh, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that. A lot of people are afraid. So you should not be afraid of your income. Somebody shout hallelujah. Whether the income is moving up or moving down, God has given you a standard. It's a year of fruitfulness. So instead of decreasing, you're going to increase. That is the standard that's been raised. Somebody shout hallelujah. All right, let's move on. I'm talking about the spirit of the Lord. God has a spirit of standard against every flood. Now, let's look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. The book of Isaiah is full of many promises of the Lord. Isaiah 61, so the spirit of God's standard. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has done what? Anointed me to preach good tidings. Unto the meek he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of the righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be what? Glorified. I'm going to read it up to verse 7. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Somebody shout hallelujah. For every flood the enemy brought, God brought a standard. These are his standard for every situation. Whether you're in captivity, whether you are sick, it's part of this scripture that Jesus read in Luke 4, 18 and 19. And 20, he finished and he closed up the book. So this scripture is very important. Say amen. He could have picked any other place to read from, but when he went into the temple, guess what he picked? That's what he picked to read. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's a standard against. First, the people who are in captivity, most times people who are having problems, when they come to church, we don't want to be their friends because they have a lot of need. The first need they have a lot of demand. When they have a lot of demand, they're demanding the anointing that they see in your life. They too want to be free. But most times we figure they are bugging us, so we avoid them. But God cares about them. So say God cares about them. God loves them. So when they come, their need is no end. Sometimes actually they pursue you. First you solve one problem. Oh, okay, I can go back again and again. After a while we just say, please, can you leave me alone? You might not verbally say it, but your attitude demonstrates it. But God says, for their shame, I'm going to give them double. Somebody shout hallelujah. Do not neglect the people who have issues when they come to church. One day, their shame will be removed. They will have double. They might become the people who have the upper hand. Always take a little time to love on somebody who is not lovable. Now, there is training. If they continue to do that for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, something is wrong. They are not taking their inheritance. They need to be trained. And that's why you're in the house of God. You keep on getting the word of the Lord, and you keep on getting trained, and you keep on rising. Say, for their shame. This scripture is mostly for Israel, for what they have gone through. But we have been grafted in, and it is also ours. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. Almost everywhere we read in this scripture has been fulfilled. When you go to Israel today, you will see this happening. The Gentiles are the ones now walking on the field, picking up the fruit. And the place is blessed. They have, the nation is blessed and it's expanding every day. Somebody shout hallelujah. A desert is no longer, when you are there, it doesn't look like you're in a desert. It looks like you're in a tropical country. Praise the Lord. The mango trees, they don't even grow this high, and it's all full of trees. So you don't even need to climb up to pick it. You just pick at a standing position. Somebody shout hallelujah. Every fruit that grows in the tropics, you can pick it there. Praise the Lord. Bananas everywhere. We're talking desert. Does that sound like bananas grows in the tropical countries? There's miles and miles of bananas. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They tell you blue, so they're covered with like blue plastic. So when you see blue, you start asking, what are those blue things? We grow blue crops here. No, it's just blue plastic covering the bananas. They've mastered how to take care of pesticides and how to take care of those pests. They're shipping all over Europe, shipping their stuff everywhere. That is the word of the Lord. One time they were ashamed, but they are no longer ashamed. Double has come. The word of the Lord has a standard. The standard still works today. Say amen. Say it will work for me. It will work for me and my household. There are flocks everywhere. There are fat cows everywhere. Somebody shout hallelujah. Everywhere you go, the airport, when we used to go, the airport was so small. Today it has one of the best airports in the world and it's just expanding. Somebody shout hallelujah. The land is doing what God says it will do. There is no more shame. Double has come. Somebody say, I receive it. Somebody say, I receive it. Somebody say, I receive it. Where there are a lot of skyscrapers, glass buildings everywhere. Somebody shout hallelujah. But when you think about it, if you've never been there, it looks like, oh, I'm going to one of the boonies. No, that's just one city. If you go to Tel Aviv, it's like skyscrapers everywhere, glass buildings everywhere. We are no longer in Abraham's tent, from tent to skyscrapers. Somebody shout hallelujah. The desert is blooming every day. This word is so important for your family. You begin to turn things around in your family. This is a standard. You begin to speak it. You speak it over your children. You speak it over your finance. God has promised. Take me back to verse 1 of it again. Isaiah 61. It says, for the Spirit, I'll go back to my Bible. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You need the Spirit of God to do this. Without His Spirit, you cannot deal with the standard. The standard comes through the Spirit, not a flesh thing. Say amen. The things of God are not done by our physical flesh. It must come from the Word of God. Through the Word of God, the Spirit of God comes. You need the Spirit of God to accomplish purpose in your life. Jesus quoted this. And the Spirit of God needed to be upon him. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do something. Spirit of God doesn't come on you for just decoration so that we can know you're so anointed. It is there for a mission. Say amen. How many of you like the Spirit of God to be upon you all the time, not sometimes? Well, it's going to be upon you if you have a mission mind. What is the mission? Preach good news. Tell somebody good news, not always bad news. There's some people all they carry is bad news. If you see them, oh my goodness, nothing good comes out of their mouth. It's always bad. This is not good. This is bad. Blah, 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 blah. But I would say good news. You are an anointed vessel that is carrying good news. Say amen. Say amen. To preach good news unto the meek. He has sent me to bind what? Brokenhearted. So there are a lot of brokenhearted people. Even young people now, they get brokenhearted so fast. I don't know what you're doing dating at age 12 and 14. It used to be when kids used to run around, playing around. Now, today, they say, oh, I have a boyfriend and he broke my heart. And I go, what? What? Somebody say, Jesus is Lord. Those are supposed to be days of innocence. You should not know any of those things. But they're getting brokenhearted. Nevertheless, if they are brokenhearted, bind their brokenhearted. With what? What do you bind it with? With the word of God. If a heart is broken, that means the mind is broken. So what is a standard against a broken mind? Spirit of power, love, sound mind. That is what you use in binding it. Say amen. You say, receive a sound mind. If the mind is broken, the heart will be broken. Because out of what? Out of the heart proceeds the issue of life. Proverbs 4 tells you that, 22. Right? You can pop that up. Take a look at these scriptures. I don't have time to look at everyone in detail. So I'm just to say to you, stir you up, and when you are home, spend a little things. Go to 21 a little bit. Go up a little. Go to 20. Let me read from 20 to 22. Proverbs. My son, attend to my what? Words. Incline your ear unto my what? Sayings. 21. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of what? Thy heart. Now, 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. There's another one that says, keep thy heart with what? 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? Issues of life. Every issue. Issues are in the tissues. The issues you don't deal with, they end up in your tissue. They cause pain. They cause sickness. All you need to, I can prove it to you, or don't bother proving it to yourself if you want. If you want to prove it, get really upset and find out what's going to happen to your tissue. What happens to you when you get really upset? Stress. And where do you start feeling the stress? Only few people are honest. I don't know what church you came to this morning, but you know. Either we have, I won't say what's that. Praise the Lord. A lot, get really, really upset. I'm not talking pretend upset. Get really upset. And find out whether the issue that you are upset about will just stay outside or you find it in your tissue. Where do you find it? In your tissue. The first place it will attack you is where? Your head. You start seeing people going like this. Is that not true? They start going like, say, what's wrong with you? Oh, my head hurts. And then the next thing, where do you find it? Your neck. Why? He said, take my burden. Jesus, take my burden. Take my yoke. It's easy and light. What have you taken? You've taken stress yoke. Instead of feeling light, you start feeling what? Heavy. Heavy weight. And if you don't deal with it, when it leaves the neck, where else does it go? Shoulder. And then where? Some people feel it in their chest, but where? In your back. Instead of by his stripes, you were healed, 39 stripes. To get rid of all the 39 nerves, roots behind you, you begin to having what? Pain. Have you heard people say, yeah, pain in my neck? Why don't you get rid of the pain as soon as it starts? Because it's not going to get better. So stress is not part of your life. There is a standard. Somebody bring out their standard all the time. It's called the sword of the spirit, quenching every fiery darts of the enemy. Ephesians 6 tells you that. Praise the Lord. Bring out the standard. So next time you are in a fit of anger or fit of distress or displeasure or whatever it is, why don't you quickly switch to the word of God? Switch to the word and bring out that standard. I am not shopping for fear today or stress. I am a stress-free person. Can you say that for yourself? Say, I'm stress-free. Bring out the standard. If you don't, it moves really quick. How long does all this pain travel? It doesn't take long. Very fast. But the word of God is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4 tells you that. So you read from verse 10, and then you go a little bit down, 12, you know, and it tells you what the word does. Praise the Lord. So bring the word out. Keep God's word in your heart so you are ready to bind the activities of the enemy. That is how Jesus operated, and that's how. So let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Luke 4, 18. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A standard. I'm talking about the standard. The standard doesn't come from the natural, it comes from the spirit. And for you to operate in the spirit, you got to have the word of God inside you. It's called the sword of the spirit. You got to have that so you can activate and deal when anything shows up. Say amen. Say amen. All right. What did I tell you to go look for? 18 verse up to 20. So let me turn my Bible there. Or we can read from the screen. The Spirit of the Lord, we just read it in Isaiah, what? 61. Okay, so Jesus is quoting. Remember, Luke chapter 4, 18 was not a Torah Bible at that time. It's not part of the physical Bible they had, right? So Jesus was teaching. So this Bible, all these books we're reading now, they came later. So Jesus was quoting from the word. He is the living word, but he has to live by the word. Amen? Praise the Lord. The spirit, just like us, we're human beings, we have to live like human beings, but supernatural human beings. Amen? The spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has what? Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight, what? To the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Everything there to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Praise the Lord. Because he's young, how can he just go straight? Remember, we have chapters. He's reading from me. A leaf, a Torah, like a parchment paper, right? So to just quickly scroll and go there, that alone is amazing. Today, you have markers. You have books. You can have chapters and verse. There was no chapter and verse. So that's why they are amazed. And how can he say this to do this? And he's saying, this is on me. But it's also on them. But they never took advantage. The Spirit of the Lord is available for you to help people. There are people that are your neighbors that are suffering. So summertime, when the weather is better, you see everybody on the street. This is winter, everybody drives into their parking lot and they do what? They run quickly into their house. But once spring comes, it's like everybody's been living in a hole. The whole street comes alive. You see children, you see everyone on the streets. That's what happened in this part of the world where we live. Now, that's your good time to chat. Hello, neighbor, longest time, you know? And I don't know about your street. In my street, we always have a little meeting on the street. As we're all driving in, everybody's waving, and then we now all walk back to the middle of the street, of the road, as if we own the road. We do. Praise the Lord. We pay tax there. Praise the Lord. So we have all kinds of neighbors. My neighbors are Jews. My neighbors are all colors, all kinds of people. Praise the Lord. We talk and we laugh, we hug, and we have a meeting right in the middle of the road. And then sometimes we move it to the side of the house, and then praise the Lord. That's your time to find out what's happening to your neighbor. And that's the time to pray for them. Say amen. You can go as far as you can be bold to give them your phone number. Don't worry if they can't do anything to you. Some of my neighbors have my phone number. And I have theirs. I don't have the whole street, but I have some. Praise the Lord. You can call on each other. So if something is happening to them, they can call you, and you can pray. Say amen. How are you going to do if you come to church every Sunday and you sit here, you finish church, you go to your house and you go to your work? Nobody even knows you're a Christian at your workplace. Nobody knows anything about you. And then you go home. How are you going to be binding anybody's broken heart? Where are you going to find them? In your dining kitchen? That you don't invite anybody? You can do it on the street. Praise the Lord. If you go out to eat, Look at the name of the person who's serving you. Relate to them. Very soon you find they're just human being like you. And they're always happy that you can talk to them. There's no restaurant we go to eat in this city that we are not friendly to our servers. We don't only friendly to them, we also bless them. Praise the Lord. We give them tip. We don't give them Mickey Mouse tip. Praise the Lord. So every time they look forward, once they see us come, they say, oh, you're here again, blah, 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 blah. And we take up the place as if we own the place. We laugh and we chat. Some people are laughing here because we've been together doing this for years. It's fishing time. It's time to bind somebody's broken heart. It's time to set them free. It's time to do something. So there is many ways to evangelize. This is all about evangelism. Dealing with humans. The anointing is not for us to just take and pack it. It's for us to use and help somebody. Say amen. The anointing is not for pastors only. It's everybody. Everybody, once you are saved, you are a minister of the gospel. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now there are roles, special roles for the fivefold ministry, but everyone who's saved ought to minister to somebody. Say amen. Everybody can pray. Everybody can say something good. Everybody can say, for instance, everybody can say good morning. Everybody can do that. Everybody can say, have a blessed day. And be consistent with it. Say amen. Even though if you're having a rotten day, just tell somebody else, blessed day. Have a blessed day. And put a little smile. Your face will not crack. Say amen. Say amen. We're talking about the standard, the Spirit of the Lord inside you. It's not there as a dormant thing. It's not there to have goosebumps and shake. And shake like a fish that you catch out of the water and put it on land. If you get a fresh fish from the ocean or from the river and you put it on land, what happens to that fish? It just flops and shakes all over the place. The Spirit of the Lord is not just there to just shake you and just make you feel out of place. No, it's there to do something. Ask God to show you what to do with it. Say amen. You don't wait for pastors to do all the work. For instance, there are a lot of people who are sick. They're sick until they die. Nobody knows about it. If you've not seen them for a while, you can call and say, what happened? Make friends. Ask for each other's phone number. Call them. If they're bugging you too much, you can say, well, I think I'll be available to take your calls. You can call me on Tuesdays since I'm busy. So now say, oh, don't you call me again. Delete that number. Because one day they might really need help. I remember many years ago, somebody fell in their house and they were there for a long time. They were struggling. They fell against the door and it's a senior. You could not open the door. They didn't have somebody checking on them. By the time they struggled, they were bleeding already, you know. To go check, this is unusual. And then had to call the fire people to open the door and get her. And she was already in her 90s. She could have died there. Somebody needs to check on somebody. That's not hard for us to do as church people. Say amen. You don't have to talk too long. If you have somebody who talks too long, just say, I can only spare 2 minutes. That's fine. We want to do these things, but some people abuse it, so we stop. Let's help one another. That's what the Spirit of the Lord is there for. Say amen. To open the eyes of them that are what? Blind. It's not only physical blindness, it's spiritual blindness. Anyway, I got to get out of that so you can do something about that. Amen? Some people say, I don't have power to heal a blind person, but you can have power to open their eyes to see that God is a good God by looking at your life. Say amen. All right, let's leave that. I'm going to move on to Isaiah chapter 11. Just verse 1 to 5. Isaiah 11. You need the standard of the Spirit. Jesus needed it. So we're talking about how he was quoting this. He needed it, so you also need it. You're not going to be able to accomplish purpose except you are in the Spirit. You need the Spirit of the Lord. This is a prophecy about the Lord himself, about Jesus. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. These are seven spirits. And shall make him of what? Quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Someone say amen. Let me just read up to verse 5. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. These are the standard. When you are in the Spirit, this standard has to be inside you. Every Sunday we pray in this house, the Spirit of the Lord prayed, the seven spirit all the time, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of fear of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. We do that. Jesus had all that inside him. And that's how he was able to operate. So that even when he went to the cross, when they were spitting on him, slapping him, poking him, putting the crown of thorns, torturing him, beating him, and all that. And these are the people he has helped and saved. Nobody came to help him. Well, other than Joseph, that helped to carry the cross, right? Joseph of what? Arimathea that helped. But Joseph did not volunteer. They drove him, you go carry the cross, you know, help him. But he, other than that, the Bible never recorded that he healed Joseph or did anything for him. Most of the people he was healing, the lepers he cleansed, the widow of Nain, the son that died and came back to life. You know, what about Mary's family, Mary Magdalene, and all the other people? Where were they? Where's Lazarus and their family? Raised them from the dead. Where were they? Huh? Where were all the blind people that he healed? The Bible said the power of God was present and he healed them all. Where were all? Where were the 5,000 people that he fed with five loaves of bread and two fishes? Where were they? Where were the people who were the recipient of the miracles that he was performing? Where were they? Nowhere. But the Spirit of the Lord put a standard so that he's not judging people by what he's hearing or by sight. He was moving under the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is saying, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That is a standard. Somebody shout hallelujah. There is a different standard for us. There is a different standard for us. If you're a pastor that is touchy-touchy, you will not pastor a church. Because the same people you pastor will be the same people poking the knife in your ribs. What do you do? You have to love them. Not all of them, but there are some mean congregation people. Just like there are some mean pastors. Because we are still human. It got really quiet here. A pastor have to keep on loving. You don't do it for 1 year and say, oh, it's so tough, I'm going to quit. I better go find real estate business to do. At least I'll be making some money. Praise the Lord. You keep at it. There is a standard. You've been separated unto the Lord. You cannot unseparate yourself. You don't say, oh, at least if I'm doing business, I'll be having some profit. Where's my profit? The profit is souls. The profit for the pastor is souls that are going to show up in heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He doesn't quit and say, well, after all I have done, look at what they did to me. Well, your stomach has to be stronger than that. Say amen. You have to have a spiritual stomach. You don't go by, the Bible says, the God of, whose God is their belly. A pastor's God cannot be their belly. It has to be God. Living waters in the pastor's belly. Somebody shout hallelujah. You don't say, look, I prayed for them. I traveled and I came back. They won't even say hi to me. I called them from far away and I did this. You can't have that. You have to look beyond. You're not serving them. You serve them, but you're serving the master. The master served everybody, not one person. Only John, the beloved, was present to take care of Jesus' mother. Everybody, vamos. The standard has not changed. Oh, it got quiet again. Am I talking Bible this morning? Why are you so quiet? Should I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and then you can go home? There is a standard. Because when you are in your own home, the standard, the flood will show up, but you got to bring out the standard. Say amen. When you are driving your car, the flood will show up. You got to bring out the standard. When you are in your children's school, the flood will show up. You dress your child very well, took care of them, fed them, paid their school fees. You send them to school. And then a crazy bomber go there and bomb the school and kill the kid. Do you quit serving God and say, God, where were you? Did I not pray that I send angels to be charged over these kids? Did you not pray? You just finished fasting. You fasted, you prayed. You spoke the word. Or do you think everybody that died in those situations are all hidden? There are believers who also lose people that way. The standard must rise. You still keep on praying, God, put your angels charge over me and my household. Well, you've prayed all those prayers. And the flood showed up. The standard continues. You must take the posture of Job. Even though he slay me, yet will I serve him. There's nobody more righteous than Job in the Bible, other than the Lord Jesus. The Bible says he was a righteous man. He did everything that pleased God. Yes, he had one little fear, but everything he did good. To lose 7 children, not young children, they were not babies, they were adults, because the Bible said they have their houses. A baby does not build a house or maintain a house. They had their own family. Job was the best tither in the land. He gave so much offering. Go read Job 1. It tells you all the offering he was giving. He was doing this not sometime, all the time. He's the best giver. He's well known in the streets. He cared for the people. Yeah, Job 29 tells you that. He was not a hermit, but yet trouble came because God was proud of Job. God can see Job will continue to serve him. So some floods that are coming against you is because God is proud of you. But just know, the same God who's proud of you is going to get you out of it. Double is coming. God said, double, you will receive double. Did Job receive double? Did Job stayed in there? He didn't stay there forever. Disgrace came. Shame came from being like a king walking. The Bible says he walked his feet, walked on butter. Somebody shout hallelujah. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Job was not an honorary man. He lived a glorious life. Through the life of Job, we begin to see a lot of secrets. God begin to talk about how the snows are all snowflakes. Everyone is different. How things are created. God was challenging him. The Spirit of God was stirring him. Were you there when I did this? Were you there? Were you there? Were you there? Were you there? The Spirit had to stir him. When you're going through issues, let the Spirit of God begin to stir you. Begin to get into the Word. Let it begin to stir you. Begin to stir you so that the standard will be ready to clean it all out. Say amen. Every flood, God's standard will prevail. You will prevail in 2019. You will have the winning victory. You will have a testimony. I already said having testimony already. You will have a testimony. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Raise the standard up against every attack of the enemy. This is the Spirit of the Lord. We also ask that God will put that in our lives. Amen. All right, let's leave that. Let me, I got so much I want to share. Okay, I'll just go to one section, and then I was going to give you examples of people who had to go through all of that, but I'll leave that alone for now. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Romans 8. You should read the whole thing on your own time. I always prefer to read the whole chapter instead of just picking up a few. But do that at your own time. So when we're ministering, we just pick a few verses to because of time. Okay. Everybody should know Romans 8 as a Christian. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We've been called to walk after the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you don't have condemnation. Satan can never condemn you, neither can you condemn yourself. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is a Spirit of life in Christ. So we're talking about being in the Spirit. The standard comes from the Spirit that stops everything. It doesn't come from the flesh. I read to you in Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 5, that the Lord himself will not judge according to his natural hearing, neither his natural sight, right? So the law of the Spirit works from a different view and from a different perspective, from higher ground, from heavenly perspective. Praise the Lord. He said, when you are there, there's no condemnation. If you're someone who's always feeling guilty about this and that, be free from that today in the name of Jesus. That is not part of you as a child of God. If you do something wrong, repent and move on. No guilt. If guilt of what you did 20 years ago is still haunting you, be free from that today in the name of Jesus. That's not part of your life as a child of God. There is no condemnation in your life. You are free. Amen? You are free. Some people say, "Where are you free?" Oh, I remember one time, long time ago. Not you. You don't know who this person is. It's been a long time. You know, it's an old person. He says, "Oh, I've carried the guilt for more than 70 years." I said, "Huh?" I went, "Huh? 70 years. The person's, you don't know the person. The person's not even here. The person is in glory now. They free, got free for 70 years. I said, "What?" I said, "I must say this to you. And she said something to me, and I said, huh? Is that all? You carry this all this time? It doesn't matter. Didn't Isaiah 1, right? 18. Can you put Isaiah 1, 18 for me, please? Come now, let us what? Reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as what? Scarlet, they shall be as what? White as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be what? As wool. That's the standard against every sin. The standard has not changed. The enemy flooded her heart for 70 years. You understand what that means? The load she was carrying. I said, so he said, but I must tell you what it is. So I said, what is it? She now said, well, I was such a bad sinner. I was kissing boys in the church. And can you imagine? When we go to clean church, that's what I was doing. So this is what you carried all these years. So I said, did you go to second base? Yeah. She said, no, we didn't go that far, but we did all kinds of stuff. So I just prayed for her. I said, you've been free. You've gave your life to the Lord so many years ago. You've been free, but Satan has been blackmailing you with this, carrying condemnation and guilt. She got free. And it's like you carried a trailer truck off her shoulder. Even the way she now raised her head and walked that day. And I say, my God, this devil is a bad devil, tormenting an old woman. May you be free from every torment. In the mighty name of Jesus, you must never carry guilt again. The standard is reason together. Just go to Father, I messed up, forgive me. It's a done deal. Immediately. What happened to the prodigal son? Took all the wealth of the father. Half was left, but there was still plenty left. Praise the Lord. So he thought. He thought he squandered everything. Give me my inheritance now. He was a bad boy in the family. He didn't want to work, but he knows how to take what the father worked for. Give it to me now. And the father was tired of the stress, he gave it. He left, squandered, found himself in the pig palace. Sleeping with the swine and eating swine burgers. But he remembered his father is a good father. He remembered how his father treats the servants. May you remember God is a good God. May you turn around and go back to him. Don't hide in the bush. The standard is turn back to him. It's called we are prisoners of hope. Is that not what the word of God calls us? Prisoner of hope. I'd rather be a prisoner of hope than a prisoner of guilt and shame. He said, for your shame, you get double. So you've been set free from shame. Shame is not part of your life. Never hang your head down because you are judging from the flesh standard. Romans 8 says everything. Back to Romans 8. I'll probably finish from this set of scriptures for this morning. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. You've been free from sin and death. There's a law that governs sin. The soul that sinneth, he shall what? Die. That's the law of sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. So sin has payday, and the payday for sin is what? Death. You've been free from that. You'll be free from that. You don't earn that wage. Say amen. That's not part of your wages in life. That's not part of your income. Say amen. And say you are the law of the spirit of life in Christ. That's where you are going to be. I like all the verses, but I won't be able to read all of them. Oh, let's look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus has been crucified. Amen? Been crucified. Everybody who attends this church or has heard us talk, you already know Galatians 2, what? 20, 21 tells you it's no longer I that live. I've preached on that. I'm sure Apostle have preached on it, and many other people have preached on it. Praise the Lord. You're no longer under that. You're no longer the one that live. You live. The life you now live, you live by what? The faith of the Son of God who loved you. Not only did he die for you, he loved you and gave himself for you. Say amen. So that's the life you're now living. You're living in him and through him. So it says, "For I'm going to read up to verse 11, and you can read all of it to, I think it stops at 21. So you can read up to 21 on your own or read the whole chapter. But I'll do a little bit of it. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. We've been called to walk after the Spirit, not flesh. Amen? Verse 5, for they that are after flesh do mind what? The things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of what? The Spirit. Be spiritually minded. You can't do both. You got to do one. Somebody said, but when I go to work, what do I use in working? You can be in the Spirit so that you know how to handle things. Say amen. So when you go to work, you will not make error. The Spirit will tell you, do this, do that. But you study. We go to school to study to know how to reason. Because we live in a natural world. But governed by a supernatural world. You don't have to be a Christian to know that the world is governed spiritually. All you need to do, every nation, every tongue and tribe in this world knows about the spirit world. Go quiet again. Every culture knows about the spirit world. They know there's another thing governing, but they don't know the way. But when we have Jesus, we know the right way. Say amen. The Bible says, do what? Those that are after the flesh do mind the things of. If you are so flesh conscious, everything about you, even when you speak, everything is flesh, flesh, flesh. You can't hide it. It comes across. The way you think, your attitude, your aura, your presence carries flesh. So you might be speaking the word, but you are broadcasting what? Flesh. When you are in the spirit, your aura, your presence carries spirit. I pray it carries the spirit of God. Because you can be in some people's presence, they carry a different spirit. You can. I was going to say you can cut it. Yes, you better cut it. You can just walk past and you sense it. Sometimes you smell it. Foul spirit. But if you're not in the spirit, all this can be happening around you and it's like you're in Lolo land. And then you go home and carry that luggage with you to your house. And all of a sudden, hell has entered your home. And then you go, everything was nice. Where did this come? You were not in the spirit. You didn't catch on. No discernment. You carried extra home. May you not carry extra luggage home. May you not carry evil spirits to your house. In the mighty name of Jesus. May your house be evil spirit free. In the name of Jesus. So you begin to battle year after year. and you are hiding it and you're still pretending. Be free. The altar of God is here. He just say he's setting the captives free. I am free from every captivity. I am free from every captivity. In the name of Jesus, you are free from those spirits. So walk in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the law of the flesh. Say amen. I want to get up to verse 11, so can I move on? Where did I stop? 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So why waste your time on carnality, on flesh base? Focus on the living God. Focus on the standard of the Spirit. So then they that are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. You cannot use your carnal mind to reason things out. It is good when you sin, you go to God for that. That says, come, let's reason about that. But God has given you a standard. So after you reason, he tells you, this is how I want you to live. Walk in the Spirit. Talk in the Spirit, right? Do things my way. Don't be Frank Sinatra, say, I did it my way. God say, do things God's way. Amen? There was no amen there. Amen? So they, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. So, but if you're in the spirit, you can please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in what? In the spirit. He said, but you are not. The one who died for you and paid for you has put you in the spirit. When you came this morning, I said, where are you seated? Everybody said, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's your spirit, man. Your spirit man is there. Your carnal person is sitting right here. But your spirit man is heavenly places conscious. The consciousness of that must be in you. So when you are in your office, yes, you are there with your carnal body sitting on your office chair, but you are what? That's how Daniel in the Bible operated. He was able to solve problems because he was heavenly minded. Somebody shout hallelujah. He did not become a governor for just becoming a governor. He trained to be that. As he sought God in prayer, and as he sought God in fasting, and as he sought God to do things, even though he's in captivity, he's removed from his original land by force to serve under pagan kings. He did not let go of the standard. The standard was present to shut the mouth of the lions. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because the Bible says innocence was found in him. Light was found in him. He had the spirit of excellence and spirit of innocence and spirit of light. May you have those spirit operating in you. Say amen. The standard does not change at your workplace, at your home. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So this is not a suggestion. If you are a Christian, you must be in the Spirit. And you must have the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. There's no other spirit. Spirit of Christ told you the Spirit. What are the spirits again? Spirit of the Lord. There's the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, might, and the fear of the Lord. 7. So these 7 spirits must be in operation in your life. Say amen. If you read through Proverbs, the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is what God used in creating. For you to be a creative person, to know what to do, you must have that too. We're not here doing rituals, calling the Spirit of the Lord all the time. It's not a ritual. We're not a ritualistic church. where you just repeat. It's called vain repetition that gives no result. It's a reminder, this is who I am. And this is where I operate from all week, all year, all month. Say amen. Say amen. Amen. You can be in the presence of people, but don't lose sight of who you are. Be in the spirit. You can be talking to people, but don't lose where you are coming from. Say amen. All right, are we almost at 11? So I'll stop at verse 11. 9. 10. 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Remember, he's giving you his righteousness because you are in the spirit. Amen? Say amen. If the body is dead, why do we still spend so much time in it? Verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised this one of my, I always say favorite scripture. I have so many favorites. Everyone is favorite. Praise the Lord. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also do what? Quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Say amen. It's not going to, when he quickens which body? Your mortal bodies. So you can be in this physical flesh body, but you become the temple of the living God. It begins to quicken you and tells you what to do. So if something foreign shows up in your body, the spirit will quicken you and tell you what to do with it. Say amen. If lumps and bumps and whatever else, pain and all kinds of things shows up, you begin to speak, attack it with what? The word of God. By stripes I am healed. I'm healed. If it's a head issue, he carried the thorns of flesh, the thorns on his head. Every head problem is healed. Every brain problem is healed. By that thorn piercing his head, shedding his blood there, I'm healed. I'm free from headache. I'm free from confusion. I'm free from, if you have bad eyesight, well, it's all part of your head. Right? The eye, the nose, the ear, everything is part of the head. I'm healed. I'm healed. They slapped his face, didn't they? If you have jaw problem, your jaw is locked and you can't talk and you're like this, be healed. In the name of Jesus, you have to say, you can't, You are saying be healed. Amen? So you can begin. So my last, very last scripture will now be, did I say, shall quicken? John 6:63 will be my last scripture for this morning. And then we're going to rise and we're going to pray. It is the spirit that what? First, we read in Romans 8:11 that the spirit will quicken your what? Your mortal body. Your mortal, this body. Your immortal is when you die and you put on the new one. You have not died yet. You are still here. So it's going to quicken the one you are living in now. Amen? Quicken the flesh. It is the spirit that what? Quickeneth. The flesh profit what? So why waste time on the flesh? You're going to get zero. No profit. Zero. Everybody say zero. Don't waste time on zero. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit. And they are what? Life. Spirit of the life of Jesus dwells in us. The standard has not changed. From Genesis to Revelation, still the same thing. It has not changed. It's life in the spirit. Can you rise with me? Father, we thank you. We have nobody else but you. We depend on you. May your spirit, the spirit of the living God, become the righteous standard that we live by. From this day on and forevermore. In everything that we do, in our walk, in our talk, in our decision making, in everything that we do, in raising our family, in serving you, in worshiping you, in giving to you, in helping others, may your spirit bear the standard. May it raise that standard in our life. And may it raise a standard against every flood of the enemy. Every flood that is against anyone in this house, it is dismantled. That person that had that pain, your pain has completely gone. It's been gone for a little while now. If you are that person, shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Most times when I'm speaking, I don't speak only to the people present. I'm speaking to people far away. You've been a witness where they're calling. Father, we thank you for deliverance. We are free from every captivity. If you are that person that the enemy has been bombarding your mind, putting guilt one after the other, you are free today in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord set a standard against that flood of bombardment, of blackmail, of guilt, in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. If you're that one that the enemy is speaking, you're going to be poor, you're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your finance, you're going to don't have this, you're going to be eating only crackers and water, the rate things are going, be free from that bombardment. In the name of Jesus, you will eat the riches of the land. You will eat abundantly. You will take care of everything because God has a standard. The Spirit of the Lord has come to set the captives free, to set the poor free. You're no longer poor, you are rich. The standard is you are rich. You are rich. Let the poor say, I'm rich. You are rich, you have more than enough. In the name of Jesus, you are rich. In the name of Jesus, if your heart has been broken, may it be healed from disappointment, from pain, from hurts. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be made whole. Shalom, shalom. Peace to your mind. I will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. May your mind be stayed on Jesus. Be whole in the name of Jesus. Whatever flood it is today, we speak to every one of you. Flood of cancer, flood of sugar diabetes, flood of high blood pressure, flood of AIDS, flood of pain in the knee, joint, arthritis, flood of any type of sickness and disease that's got a name from letter A to Z, from any kind of pain that's got a name from letter A to Z. The name of Jesus, you bow. In the name of Jesus, we raise that standard. In the name of Jesus, you bow. You bow now. From your crown of your head to the soles of your feet, you have been transformed from that darkness into God's marvelous light. You walk in the light and you are healthy. You are healthy, you are blessed. You are wealthy and you are blessed. You are rich and there is no sorrow. In the mighty name of Jesus, every flood of addiction is destroyed. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh Lord, we thank you for deliverance and wholeness being restored to God's people. We declare your fruitfulness. We declare your fruitfulness. You shall bear fruit and much fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we receive that word. If you receive it, say amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.